Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The latest round of Brexit negotiations are soon to get underway, and the question of the UK reaching a no-deal outcome has been dominating the discussion in the TV studios. Speaking to Andrew Marr, the Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell warned of dire consequences, but claimed that Labour had a vital role to play in shaping the government's Brexit policy.
What happens to the British economy if there is no deal?
Oh, I'm not countenance no deal. I'm not willing to countenance that. I don't think it's a realistic option.
But the government's
not
talking about
happen.
It. They're talking
there
about
is
it.
Not. I don't think there's a majority in Parliament for no deal. I think on a cross-party basis, you'll see in the debates in the coming week, the government will get the message there will be a deal.
Are you saying that the House of Commons can stop the government from a no deal scenario?
I don't believe there's a majority in the House of Commons for no deal, and I think the government needs to recognise that.
But there is no vote on that in the House of Commons. The government can negotiate.
When we amend the legislation, which I think we will, I think there's a majority to do that, to have a meaningful vote is what we've said all the way along. We'll be able to say to government, whatever you're negotiating, it will not be on the basis of no deal because the damage to this economy would be so great.
Isn't this really, really bad negotiating?
No, not at all.
If we haven't got a plan B, if we haven't got a way of getting out of it, then they are just going to screw tighter and tighter.
My background, before I came into Pump, I'm a trade union negotiator. I was chief executive of a local government association with an office in Brussels. I negotiated in Brussels. You do not negotiate in this way, other from any negotiation. What you say is, what's our mutual interest? And you have mutual respect. And on the basis of mutual interest and mutual respect, we believe we can get a decent deal. Because our European partners are dependent on us as we are upon them for this deal working. It will damage them as much as us. We should not... Let me just say this, Andrew. I worry for our country as a result of what's happening within the Conservative Party. This isn't about negotiating with Europe. It's about fighting amongst themselves. If they can't negotiate a deal, they should get out of the way and let us do it.
But you can't stop this. I mean, they are doing what they're doing.
Parliament can. I don't believe, and you've seen in the papers today...
How?
Well, they haven't got a majority to get through a no-deal situation in Parliament. We amend the legislation for Parliament to have a meaningful vote that will force the government to negotiate, come to their senses and negotiate properly.
And you're talking to Tory MPs about this right now, I assume?
There are discussions going right the way across the House.
When are we going to see this vote? Because at the moment, the government are talking about no deal.
Well, trying to tell you why we're not seeing a vote next week? Not because there's 300 amendments that have been put down, most of them by actually their own side, but because they're now negotiating with their own backbenchers on just how much they can get through. They're more interested in negotiating to save the party, the Conservative Party, than they are in the interest of the country. That's why I think actually it is a disgrace. They should come to their senses, behave responsibly and look after the interests of the country.
However, Transport Secretary Chris Grayling was far less downbeat about the UK's prospects in the event of a no deal.
What will be the consequences for this country if we don't get a deal?
Well, this country will succeed whatever happens. You know, we have a hugely impressive track record in the world. We trade around the world.
To use a phrase, perfectly OK.
Well, I think it is better for us to have a good relationship with our neighbours in Europe, to carry on trading freely. We are their biggest export market. We do business together. Of course, it is better that that is the case. And that's where I think we'll get to. But I am absolutely confident that Britain will succeed come what may.
It's just that, you know, over the last week or two, the government itself, Chancellor, Prime Minister, have started to raise this question of no deal. And some of your colleagues are quoted saying it's a 50-50 chance now of no deal, which is not something that many people expected even a few weeks before. So we seem to be in new territory now. So I ask again what you think the consequences of no deal would be for us.
I think Britain will succeed, but I don't think we'll get to that position. It's about the one thing I would agree with John McDonnell on. I think we will reach a sensible trading position.
And that's despite hearing people like Hillary Clinton and Christine Lagarde and many others saying it would be very, very bad for Britain.
Well, it's bad for the European Union if we don't have a sensible trading arrangement. Britain will succeed. And there's nothing new about this. Theresa May, back in her speech at Lancaster House earlier this year, said no deal is better than a bad deal. And where I fundamentally disagree with John McDonnell, as we heard earlier, him saying we must do a deal in all circumstances. There is no serious business leader in this country who would enter a negotiation on the basis that they'd accept the terms regardless of what they are. So, of course, we have to plan for an option where there is no deal. We don't expect that, we're not aiming for it, and I don't think that's where we're going to end up.
It may be, however, where we end up. Let me put to you what Sir Martin Donnelly, who was Permanent Secretary at the Department of International Trade and therefore knows about these things, said. He said no deal would mean a huge amount of legal uncertainty, and that's very bad for businesses, for jobs, for investment in Britain. It would be a very serious outcome. The WTO, he pointed out, doesn't cover much in the way of service industries, which accounts for 80% of our economy, and therefore it would be a very serious position for the British economy. That's Martin Donnelly.
Well, I remain absolutely of the view that Britain will succeed come what may, but I also believe we'll end up with a sensible agreement with the European Union, because it's in both of our interests that that should happen. But of course we must plan for all eventualities. People would think it was ridiculous if their government wasn't planning for all eventualities.
John Longworth, formerly Director General of the British Chambers of Commerce and now co-chair of the Leave Means Leave pressure group, went further than Grayling in his optimism. He told Sarah Smith that a no-deal scenario was nothing to be afraid of.
There's been a lot of political talk about the possibility of no deal. Is it time business started preparing for no deal?
Yeah, absolutely, and businesses, of course, are preparing. Certainly, the entrepreneurs and business owners in our Leave Means Leave network are already looking for the opportunities. There's a big misunderstanding.
Sorry, looking for the opportunities. You think that leaving with no deal would be a good deal?
Leaving with no deal is certainly better than a bad deal and could be the best deal. I mean, certainly the very best deal is to have all the freedoms of leaving the EU and a free trade arrangement as well. But the chances of retaining the free trade arrangement seem to be becoming slimmer and slimmer. And actually, the FTA is not worth as much as the advantages of leaving. So what we now need to do, it's essential that the Prime Minister does this very soon, is to declare that we are actually going to go to World Trade Organization rules in March 2019 if there's no progress with respect to the EU.
You don't want the transition or implementation period that she's talked about. You think it should just be a sharp cut-off in March 19, what some would call a cliff-edge Brexit.
Yeah, there's a huge misunderstanding about the advantages and disadvantages of leaving the EU. All the advantages and all the benefits that will boost our economy are entirely in the hands of the UK government, provided we leave the single market and the customs union. So leaving in March 2019 holds no problems for businesses in our network, because they will seize those opportunities, and the government should be preparing to seize them too.
Meanwhile, Nicky Morgan may have made things awkward for Amber Rudd during an informal chat with Robert Peston about the future of the Chancellor, Philip Hammond. By carelessly revealing one crucial detail, Morgan all but confirmed that Rudd was her anonymous source.
Many of your colleagues think that Philip Hammond has been disloyal to the Prime Minister. Has he been disloyal? Should he be sacked?
No, of course he shouldn't. I don't think he's done anything other than his job as Chancellor, which is to warn of the consequences of having either no deal or a very poor deal in relation to Brexit, and to warn that obviously the economy is it's growing, but very slowly. So we need to take measures that are going to support continued growth, because that's what people expect from the Conservatives, to run the economy well. So I think those who are saying that he should be sacked are incredibly self-indulgent. I should just say I've been contacted this morning by a very senior cabinet minister who is appalled at what she is reading in the newspapers this morning. And, you know, it's just, it's not on to have all of this. It's not helpful for anybody to have ministers being attacked, whether it's the Chancellor or the Foreign Secretary, when something as critical as Brexit negotiations is going on.
A senior cabinet minister, I think you said she, so we're talking about the most senior cabinet minister contacting you?
I'm not going to tell you who has been contacting me, but I think that they are talking for others in the cabinet and for the party. The majority of MPs in the parliamentary party do not want Philip Hammond to be sacked. They want actually the cabinet to come together to get on with the important matters of Brexit and the budget and everything else.
And finally, Henry Bolton surprised many in the media by saying off all the competition to become UKIP's new leader. Somewhat intrigued, Sky's Neil Paterson was quick to question Bolton about what appeared to be a highly unusual skill.
I'm going to be frank. Mm-hmm. I know you like plain speaking in UKIP, but like many other people, until recently, I hadn't heard of you until you came in. And so I've been trying desperately to get to grips with you. I discovered this morning, thanks to the Sunday Times, that in an interview with Russia Today, you said that you could strangle a badger with your bare hands. Is that correct?
They gave me a few options as ideas for an initiation ceremony into the leadership of UKIP, and the one that was probably most suitable for me was chasing a badger across Dartmoor, capturing it, and then breaking its neck with one's bare hands, which was a slightly unusual thing. But
yeah, and possibly the strangest question I've ever asked myself.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and you can get a great deal on the magazine with the first 12 issues for just £12, plus a limited edition Spectator Moleskine notebook. Just visit spectator.co.uk/pod offer. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.